everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is The Red, White, and Rude. And as Andrew Breitbart once said, politics is downstream of culture. Or was it pop culture? Regardless, you get my drift. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about the fall of a media icon, Miss Wendy Williams' battle with her health issues, as well as betrayal. Then we're going to move on to when the fat nerd challenges the queen of streams, a tale of misogynistic misadventure. And then we're going to move on to the Hollywood elite or the great unwashed celebrity outrage at the audacity of we, the American voter. And we're going to close it out with deja vu, close encounters. When DC gets high on UFOs. And if you're wondering about the deja vu, I am specifically referring to 1952, a year, a week that all us UFO buffs know and understand well, as you will after I'm done with this podcast. But first of all, do not forget to share, like, and subscribe to The Red, White, and Rude, as well as my other podcast, Fired Up. Conservative talk, and when sports and politics collide, points on the board. You can find those three podcasts as well as our other podcasts at grumblingsmedia.com and our social media channels, YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora, under the profile handle Grumblings Media. As I said, we have a great show for you tonight. It's really bugging me though. Is it politics is downstream of pop culture or culture? I'll figure it out before the show is over. But first of all, let's get down to it and let's talk about Miss Wendy Williams. Let me get my notes here properly. Well, first of all, Wendy Williams, for those of you who may not know, and you know, I'm a little bit older. She was not my era. My era was Phil Donahue, Oprah, and all the swath of failures, along with Maury Povich. And who was more than Downey Jr. There was one more there. Oh, the Cincinnati mayor, former Cincinnati mayor, is Jerry Springer. Those are my eras. Wendy Williams came after my heyday in terms of what was popular in the pop culture and the cultural world. But Wendy Williams, it became an icon, notable former TV talk show host, and she's been diagnosed with aphasia and frontotemporal dementia, and that's been confirmed by her team. And she had previous health issues. Previous to this, she had shared details about her struggle with Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune disorder leading to hyperthyroidism, it causing symptoms like weight loss, rapid heartbeat, anxiety, and sometimes eye bulging or goiter. You know, and with that, we'll show her picture there. She was at one time beautiful. I mean, she went and got all the surgery done, which really bugs me. She got the big boob job done. You know, I did a paper, I'm digressing here, but I did a paper in college on human sexuality, and Hollywood is not kind to women. But that said, ladies, don't assume it's all men. It used to be all men. There are women pushing the same crap because they're plying the trade of human nature and biological demand, meaning what men like in women in terms of how women look. But she also had lymphedema. It's a swelling due to the accumulation of lymph fluid from lymphatic system obstruction, and that's usually in the limbs. As you can see in the pictures, you know, she was a very lean woman. At one time, sure, her weight fluctuated. She talked about that too. And you can see the issues there with the Graves' disease and sad situation overall. So symptoms leading to her diagnosis. Over time, she showed cognitive decline, such as difficulty with speech, erratic behavior, and issues with financial dealings. She wasn't able to manage her money. There was medical confirmation of all of this in 2023 after thorough testing. I got to be honest. I had mixed feelings about, man, this is really bugging me, this course. I had mixed feelings about posting this image of her up here with the eyes. You know, you don't, but that was part of the symptoms. She kind of really let herself go with the surgery, in the sense surgery after surgery. And I really wonder if she was having issues then and just thinking she wasn't beautiful before, because she was a beautiful woman. So I did have issues about posting that, and I feel bad about it, but I don't apologize. It's an aspect of her life that is now public. So she obviously faces significant challenges. You know, she can't manage aspects of herself, so she has care. Supposedly, she retains some of her characteristic humor, but she's suffering dementia. I'd imagine with my research, those notes are probably old. Her diagnosis was made public to raise awareness and encourage empathy for those with similar conditions. You know, it's I don't care what condition you have. If you're a human of any kind, you will have empathy. Nobody wants to see another fellow human being suffer unless it's your notoriously hated enemy or Joe Biden. I'm kidding. I mean, I don't have any ill will against Joe Biden in the sense of his health, but, you know, that guy, boy, that's just a bad dude. But I'm digressing again. So, some of her legal issues surrounding a Lifetime documentary that came out or is coming out about her. In fact, let me see. Let me check my notes here real quick. Oh, yeah. I'm way behind. That documentary aired, according to my notes here, February 24th and 25th, 2024. That's not something I had the stomach to watch. I find it's exploitation. Is kind of how I view it in her condition. And once they realize the condition she was in, they should just stop. But, you know, television, it's like a train wreck, you know, and it's true. Anyway, her legal guardian, Sabrina Morrissey, she filed a lawsuit against Lifetime in New York County Supreme Court regarding the documentary, Where is Wendy Williams? Her guardian claims that Williams was deemed too vulnerable to give consent for the documentary due to her health. And they must have seen that. And they must have figured it out as they were filming. But legally, they had her signature, so they didn't care. That's what I'm talking about, the heartlessness. I mean, somebody up there should have been man enough or woman enough to go to their bosses. Look, I know she signed it. She wasn't in the right mind. I mean, what kind of pig are you? You know, that you want to do this. I mean, you obviously you're not going to say that to your bosses, but that's what you're thinking, you know. And the documentary is accused of exploiting Williams by showing her in a degrading manner. The lawsuit was escalated to federal court, and Lifetime allegedly made significant profits, probably off the advertising off it. And they showed it multiple times off of more advertising. And they said Wendy Williams only received $82,000. Let me tell you about that. That alone should have been a red flag to those on Lifetime side. $82,000, she was pretty easy. You assume she had an agent, but I'm not sure. But the legal action seeks financial compensation. Of course, it has aired. For Williams, and aims to stop the documentary from being broadcast further so they don't show it again. Filming commenced in August of 2022 after Williams' financial guardianship and was halted in April of 2023 due to her deteriorating health. Again, they were watching as this happened, and it was really supposed to depict her post-talk show life, but then it instead shifted over to her health challenges. Again, they saw what was happening, so they had a meeting. This is not going well in terms of her post-talk show. She's just not with it. She's not there. Okay, let's focus on her deteriorating mental conditions. You know, let's exploit that. The court did not address the validity of the guardian's claim about Williams' consent capability in the ruling. That's a tricky issue. I mean, look at Joe Biden. He is pumped up so full of drugs. There's days he's lucid. There's days he's not. I don't know where she's at in her form of dementia, but the initial legal outcome, it was an attempt to prevent the documentary from airing. Obviously, that failed, and it was overruled due to First Amendment considerations. Why they would overrule that is beyond me, because they can show that anytime, whether she's passed on or there. I mean, nothing changes. So what's her current status? Well, she's described as being permanently incapacitated due to her ongoing health issues with dementia, which has led to her legal guardian taking full control of her affairs. As far as the legal battle update, the lawsuit against Lifetime for airing the documentary without consent, that's ongoing. The Guardian is seeking to have certain information about Williams' health, her finances, and family relationships redacted to protect her privacy. And this, at the end of the day, people, this highlights the ethical considerations of finding someone with a cognitive impairment and placing the spotlight on them and the responsibilities that media companies have in handling these situations. We live in an ugly world, my friends. Do not believe anybody who has an opportunity to exploit you for whatever reason they give you. Oh, we can do it for this. We can do it for that. You know, listen to what they say. Make sure you have legal counsel. Make sure you have family and friends. Make sure there are people around you. And if that person isn't able to make a decision, then there should be no. What gives you the right to exploit? I don't care how trusted you are, but what gives you the right to exploit them? If you're a trusted loved one, you're there to take care and protect them. And exploiting them on film is not what you should be doing. So my take is there never is a right time unless a person before they're impaired too much before they can rationalize what's right and wrong or a yes or no, they give their consent. All right. We wish Miss Williams the best. We truly do. She was an icon. A little bit sad how her life's going now. She was always out there. What I mean by out there, she was always a wild child, you know, doing things where you're like, huh, wow, what's she in the news for this time? You know, so we do wish her well in terms of her health. May she quietly leave the spotlight, quietly go back to being a private person, because I'll tell you, and this is, I'm not being mean or terrible, but she's not going to get better. So I hope she can fade away with dignity in terms of leaving her alone. So let us talk about my next tale. When the fat nerd challenges the queen of streamers or streams, a tale of misogynistic misadventure. So we're looking at the fat David Jaffe, whatever the hell he's called. Let me show you a picture of him. You know, he is actually, or once was, a well-respected icon, semi-icon. These gamers have their own little cults. He was known for creating Twisted Metal and God of War. I would not say those are iconic games like Asteroid, Tetris, Lara Croft, Mortal Kombat. These games have their own lore, their own legend within the gaming industry. But outside the gaming industry, they're not very well known. Even though Twisted Metal does have its own show on, I want to say Paramount or Peacock. And I believe God of War is being made into a movie. But they're not on the same iconic pedestal as Doom or those type of games. And I don't say that to denigrate him. I'll say that because some of you are going, huh? What's Twisted Metal? What's God of War? Mom, don't worry about it. I'll explain it later. I'm kidding. My mom, she doesn't care about this podcast. She gets just mad when I don't call her once a week. Anyway, David Jaffe, his work has historically been well received. He's the guy on the right. And as I was researching and looking for pictures of him, it was funny because you saw his transformation from your typical young kid to this oversized behemoth. You know he's got a subscription to Pornhub. Come on. You know, but anyway, his work has historically been well received, contributing significantly to the action adventure genre and gaming. However, later in his career, as in today, he's been engaging in public discourse that has caused controversy more towards him and destroying his reputation. And specifically in relation to his views on the gaming community and industry developments, i.e. we don't like woke, we don't like DEI, we don't like fat pigs like this guy dictating to us what is beautiful, what isn't, what we like sexually, how we look at sexuality. We don't need him to tell us that a man is a woman and a woman is a man when they're not. We don't need him to shove down. Hey, you better like this lesbian. I created my game. I don't have to like it, and I will protest with my dollars and not buy the game. He doesn't understand. We ultimately have that right. He assumes we're all going to continue to buy it and get into these battles. But as we have seen, that is no longer the case, as in Star Wars Outlaws and other games. What the hell is that? The one, the big Sony game. God dang it. I'm drawing a blank, but I've talked about it a few times. Concord. Two mega triple A big ten. Between the two games, probably $600 million spent to develop it. Now you add a third to it, Dragon Age the Veilguard. So now you're talking almost $1 billion. So $800 million to create three massive flops. Jaffe has publicly attributed the commercial and critical failure of Dragon Age the Veilguard to YouTube grifters, specifically the cute Miss Vera Dark, who you see there on the left. You know, so this claim he's talking about YouTube grifters, it has attracted a lot of attention because it's controversial. He's saying that content creators who are YouTubers, they're the reason why a video game like Dragon Age of Veilguard was not well received. Well, I got news for you, YouTubers. He's right, but not with good reason. His reasoning is all wrong. You all play the game, you stream the game, you gave it your reviews, your thoughts, and people decided to sit there and follow them or not. So YouTuber Vera Dark, the cute girl on the left with the red head, I don't think she's a natural redhead. Getting there, you can tell with the youngster's hairdo there. But Vera Dark, her on the left, responded to his comments with a critique, labeling him as salty for deflecting blame onto the gaming community and to YouTubers for the game's issues, rather than acknowledging what she perceives as inherent flaws in Dragon Age of Veilguard. Hey, you fat pig, Jaffe. Somebody needs a bitch slap you, unlike your mom never doing or your dad. You obviously didn't have a good father figure at the house. But you put a crappy game out, and it's not going to sell. No different than a bad movie. No different than games early on in the industry. No different than movies when they were first created in the silent era to talking era. No different than books. No different than a bad adaption of a book to a movie or to a game. If it's bad or culturally doesn't align with what the end user believes, it's going to fail. And you can't accept that. We talked about that with Dragon Age the Veilguard. I have a short or a clip rather not a short a clip talking about Dragon Age the Veilguard, the sales, the tanking, why it tanks, showing why it should tank, telling parents you don't want your kids anywhere near this game. So yes, I'm part of that crowd. And if you don't like it, go bleep yourself. You know, her critique highlights a broader discussion on responsibility in game development and reception. I'll tell you what the responsibility is. You're responsible, David, to produce a great game. And if it's a great game, then we have the decision-making to determine whether we want to buy it or not. If it's good, we'll buy it. If it's crap, we'll move along, especially with games costing anywhere from $7 to $120 a pop. Especially in this Joe Biden economic era that you support, people can't afford that. So if it's a crap game, they will not buy it. So what is Jaffe's definition of a grifter? You know, well, in addressing her Vera Dark's interpretation, he dismissed her understanding sarcastically, suggesting she misinterpreted his words. This response, however, didn't clarify what he actually meant by grifters. You know, his explanation is more of a negative influence he believes certain content creators have on the gaming culture. Rather than providing a clear academic definition, his critique targets There we go. His critique targets those he feels sensationalize or negatively impact games without constructive criticism or genuine engagement with the content. So by his own definition, he's wrong, because Vera Dark does that. She streams all the time, as do other streamers. One of my favorite Steve streamers is Brian Menard, because I kind of pretty much play one game, State of Decay 2. I learned a lot from him. He's polite. He talks about the game. He actually doesn't criticize the game much. You know, he acknowledges the bugs, talks about, hey, they need to come out with a fix, yada, yada, yada. But it's a good game. It's a fun game. Dragon Age, The Veil Guard, no. Star Wars Outlaws, no. I don't need people shoving us lesbian down my throat and then telling me this is normal. No. You want to be a lesbian? You want to be gay? Knock yourself out. My brother-in-law, rest in peace, was gay. I didn't care. You know what I loved about him when he came down was his cookie. That mother bleeper could cup. And that guy lived in one lifetime enough, at least three or four lives. So he was a fun dude. Get on your nerves, but a fun dude. No one cared that he was gay. It's not the fact that we care about being gay. We don't. We care about what you're trying to shove down kids' throats, how you're trying to indoctrinate them, how you're trying to shove your beliefs down their throats, fat man. He personally attacked her. He demeaned her intellectual capabilities, suggesting her success was not based on merit, but on superficial attributes like gender and appearance. Newsflash, that is true, partially. A cute-looking chick or a hot-looking chick, they tend, I have noticed, anecdotally and through studies, actually. I'm the marketing guy at the company. That, yes, hot chicks do that. That's a tried-and-true method all the way back to anchors on television, to women in movies. But that doesn't take away from her intellectual capability, brother. Oh, no, sir. Yours is a fat white cuck who has a subscription to Pornhub who can never pick up a chick in your life that looked like her unless you showed your big fat wallet. It's the only thing that's big and fat around that waistline outside of the gut. This is what progressives and leftists do. They project. I'm telling you directly how I feel about them. I have no shame. I will say the same thing about a rhino or just a bad dude. I do not like bad people. I do not like people who demagogue, who criticize. Wait, isn't that what you're doing? No, I am responding back in kind. I don't go out looking for fights to pick. I see people how they denigrate. I can do the same thing to you. I'm a big boy. I can take it. Man, I have made three feminists cry without even trying. I just stood my ground and started arguing the facts, and nobody would argue with them because they were girls. Next thing I know, my friend's like, dude, why you make her cry? We were just debating. I bet you David Jaffe would cry. You don't like me. So some of the examples of his condescending comments, he explicitly called her a mental lightweight. And implied that her appeal was primarily due to her physical appearance and gender. You know, okay, let's believe it. Let's believe it. You look at her, that's what you see. When I look at you, I see a cuck who subscribes to Pornhub, whose wife is pleasured by a real man. I say that a lot. As an ex-sailor, I learned what would get under men's skins. But that's what I see in him. I mean, come on, people. Look at this guy. I mean, just look at that guy. That's not a guy at the club. A woman's going, mm-mm-mm. I mean, let's be honest. What has a hot chick never, ever said in her life? Game developer, that's hot. That's a never, yeah. Oh, my goodness sakes. I just loathe men who do that, you know? I mean, it's like I have friends, you know, and they got to see their wives, and they're like, okay, yeah, okay, I'm glad you love each other. And then they look at somebody who's say, a 7 or 8. Man, look at that chick, man. Look at no boobs or too big boobs or too big an ass or no ass or this and that. And I'm looking at them, and I'm listening to them, and my mind can't comprehend because I'm like, have you seen your wife? Come on, bro. I would never say that about your wife. But I so want to right now because you're criticizing this other woman. I'm like, if that's how you see this other woman, then you ain't getting that at home, are you? Anyway, as you can see, I have this is a sore point with how men treat women. It's not that I want to protect women, I don't. It's just you don't treat other people. You want to have a debate on the discourse of YouTubers and the influence? Let's have that debate. Why are gamers such as myself flocking to them when at one time at the turn of the century I subscribed to Xbox Magazine, Xbox, there were like two Xbox magazines, Game Informer, PC, whatever. Like four or five I subscribed eventually over the years, boom. I started getting Game Informer for free because the GameStop, I still was buying games there. This was years ago. Especially that way. Now I just go to YouTube. Why? There they get down and real. They get right down to it. With the reality of this game is good or not. And that bothers you, David. It bothers you because this is how the gaming reviews work. Star Wars Outlaws, that's a good game. We give it a 8.2 out of 10. The graphics are great. The storyline's wonderful. Oh, the characters are so engrossing. And what they fail to tell you is Ubisoft has thrown down 50,000 for a 2 month buy across the board in the magazines, on the website, on the YouTube channels, everywhere. And before they do that buy, yeah, you know, we got Star Wars Outlaws coming out. Boy, we hope those reviews are good, are up to snuff, you know? And they never say what you know they're talking about. If those reviews aren't up to snuff, you ain't gonna be getting 50 or 100K 2 3 month buy. We may not come back at all. That's what's happening at the Game Informer, at GameSpot, at those type of outlets owned by the big corporation. I'm not saying those specifically, I'm saying in general. Because specifically, I can't tell you, but I was in the fantasy sports gaming or magazine era in buying, selling, working for some of those magazines. Actually, we produced our own 1 year. So I'm aware of how that works. And that's how it works, people. So there's debate. There's no debate over Jaffe's harsh words and personal attacks. They were harsh words and personal attacks fueled by hatred, not genuine disagreement. The left, the progressives, they're upset because conservatives are finally fighting back. And what are we fighting back with? Well, our dollars. YouTube's kind of loosened up. YouTube has seen the light. I mean, not quite there at a scale of 1 to 10. They're not at the 10 and negative as you were four during the Obama era. They kind of loosened up. And with Trump coming in, they're going to loosen up even more. I mean, it's a side note, but if you go to ABC The View, that racist bigot, Sunny Huston, is like every show now. She has to do her legal apology. It's not an apology per se, but it's a legal apology, meaning we apologize. Please don't sue us. Because that show has been filled with malice towards conservatives to the point it can be proven. And that can no longer protect them, meaning they can spew whatever they want and they're protected because it's as if they're reporting the news. They have a track record just over and over and nothing on the other side. Thus, they can be shown as malice. So they're coming out now because they see the Department of Justice changing. So let's conclude this. His accusations and subsequent behavior, the media wants you to think, has led to a significant discussion on the role of content creators. No, it hasn't. All it has done is harden us conservatives to keep doing what we're doing because he's just an angry fat cuck who subscribes to Pornhub and can't get laid from his wife. And he's bitter. And his reputation has been tarnished. And here's what these never built a business before, don't understand. This affects his games that he's going to be attached to. There's going to be some people who will not buy the game. I can't remember who it was. There's somebody on TV. And then he came out with some vile, vicious comments. Like, boop, delete. I'm not going to watch your show. Why should I support you? And my friend said, well, you're missing a good show. Are you kidding me, dude? There are hundreds of thousands of shows out there, from old ones to new ones, that I can watch and I won't miss a beat. not watching this guy. So, fat man, David Jaffe, grow up, grow a pair, suck it up, unsubscribe from Pornhub, tell your wife she's beautiful no matter how big she may be. I don't know. I'm just assuming. And stop being a misogynistic pig. And if you want to talk to Vera Dark and have a debate, have it. But brother, we can go at it all day and you will lose. And it's not that they lose. They just end up doing what we're going to talk about later, deleting all their accounts and get so angry. So, Ms. Vera Dark, keep it up. Keep up the good fight. And to David Jaffe and all you other progressives, take a chill pill. Go watch a movie. Relax. All right. Let us move on to the Hollywood elite celebrity outrage at the audacity of the American voter. So what am I referring to? Well, I will show you. Let me find it here. Oh, this is too funny. So, the outrage, Hollywood, who always tells us, hey, we're here, we're looking out for you. Listen to us. We are the experts. Well, aren't you just an actor? No. I really know as much as the doctor I played on television. I really know as much as the witch I played in the movies. I really know as much as the commander who commands a UN, a US sub. I really know a lot about being a television Oh, sorry, Christina. You probably do. Both on and off the spotlight. We have Christina Applegate there on the left. And we have at the top right, Alec Baldwin, Bette Midler, and somebody you're not aware of. He's Adam McKay. He's a director. You have those. And let's see. Can I move on? And then over here, you have Sharon Stone. I mean, that woman showing her age. You know, that's the other thing. You know, it was tough to find something Bette Midler. That woman has had so much face surgery, you know. But Sharon Stone, you know, she's looking her age. She's 65, I think. But she's always caked on with makeup. She was caked on when she gave her speech. Boy, makeup does wonder for a woman. I'm not knocking it as much as being real. Hollywood hates it when they're not. But God bless her. She's showing her real age there. Stephen King, that may be an AI rendition. Guy looks like a gorilla there, doesn't he? Well, he's just a vile white supremacist. He truly projects his belief of Blacks and Latinos is too stupid to know what we talk about or what we say. And the great white hope like him has to come and protect us. That's his whole shtick. And then there's one of the Sophia Bush, you know, there. And that at the bottom is John Cusack. Yeah, that's another one, man. Boy, makeup does some wonders for him. You know, I don't know if Sophia Bush is, I want to say she's a daughter of W, but let me check. Miss Sophia Bush is not the daughter of George Bush. This is because I asked, because I know there's one of her daughters, one of his daughters went into journalism and she's become more a bit of a leftist. But anyway, so they're all pissed off at us. Adam McKay, you know, there on the bottom right, he expressed his frustration, stating, it's time to abandon the Democratic Party. He was saying it because you're saying we're too stupid to know how to vote for. Ms. Bette Midler, as you can see there in the middle, right there, she did not hold back her feelings, baby. I can't believe this is happening. May the morons who voted for him enjoy their choice. Oh, we will, bitch. What's there not to enjoy? His first term, the lowest unemployment rate for Blacks, Latinos, Asians, whites, everybody, every American. The working wage was up. That's a rarity. It was not done under Obama. He did more for historically Black universities than Obama ever did, the first, quote, Black president. He had the First Step program. which released a lot of minor offense criminals. So, for example, people who convicted of weed, and weed's legal now. He had opportunity zones to give opportunities for minority businesses. He did great. The economy was booming, greatest economy in the history of this country. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with my choice. Then Alec Baldwin commented on the information gap, stating that Americans know little or nothing about the issues. Don't you have a gun course to go take, brother? You know, somebody needs to just beat his ass and be done with it. You know, I think, because that's going to happen. Eventually, you can be a 70-year-old man, and this day and age with the new generation, I care, somebody's going to knock him out. And instead of, oh, man, why are you hit that old man? Everybody's going to be like, it's going to happen. You know it is. We all know it is. You know, man. So that's what those people said. Let's move on. Sophia Bush there on the right stated, we are in a dark place as a country. Again, I'm not going to repeat what I just said, but yeah, we can come back to those good times. You see, here's the problem with the people like Sophia Bush, the Bette Midlers, the Alec Baldwins and Adam McKay's. They're rich or well off, so they don't feel the pain of the working class American. They can afford $20 eggs. They can afford $8 box of cereal. They can afford plantain or yucca, which I shop for when I do my cooking, much higher than normal. They can afford all that. They can afford an electricity bill, $400, $500, $600, $800. A woman here in the desert had one of $1,600 or $1,500. Legit. It's regular use. They can afford all that. So they don't care to understand. You know, Stephen King said, this is a ridiculous outcome for a country that claims to be a democracy. Democracy spoke, y'all rich, white, moronic, supremacist, projecting fool. Oh, Sharon Stone, we are ignorant and arrogant. That suburban hoe, again, doesn't know what it is to struggle. John Cusack, the country destroyed itself by voting in a fascist. Do you even know what a fascist is, you moron? I mean, dear God, that forehead as big as it is, you would think there's a brain in there. Oh, and I'm sorry, I didn't mention what Christina Applegate said. Oh, dear God. She called Americans ignorant and arrogant and said, stop following me if you voted for Trump. All that does is egg people on, you moron. And yes, these are all vile, hateful morons. William, you're being kind of vile and hateful. Damn right I am. But I'm responding back to them in kind. I would never attack him. Oops. I only attack back to those who attack us. You respond back in kind, because that's the only way these people are going to shut up. You think of Christina Applegate, I mean, they do all this from behind their computer. I have been in shouting match in front of somebody. Again, I made feminist cry, not because I wanted to, it's because I held my ground and told the truth. I've been in debates with libertarians. One time I was so, dude, you talk too fast. You know, I can't comprehend or grasp what you're saying. All right, well, that's your problem. And then there's some celebrities who left X due to Trump's win. Rob Reiner, a.k.a. Meathead. You know, he talks about white supremacists, et cetera, et cetera. I can't remember her name. She's a Clooney. No. But she was a redhead in the Dick Van Dyke Show. I don't know if you knew she's redhead there. The Dick Van Dyke Show was a black and white show. But Rob Reiner was in that and producer, or he's also director. That was his era. He was a powerful figure during that era. That was an era of misogyny, racism, bigotry, and he was at the top of the food chain. And there's Meathead blaming everybody else. Maybe look at your daddy. Look at daddy-o. And I'm sure you'll find misogyny, racism, bigotry right in your own family. Then there's Lin-Manuel Miranda, His claim to fame is Hamilton. He's a flat out racist. And then yo soy Latino. My grandmother, I've said a million times, was called the N-word. My relatives, beautiful brown skin, you know. Some people call me Blanquito when I go back to Panama to visit. You know, we're all same blood. We all love one another. But I can tell you this: Latinos and blacks and Asians can be just as racist as white people. And Lin-Manuel Miranda, Sonny Hostin, who's the other one at MSNBC? She's a big time racist. In fact, she's homophobic too. And MSNBC launched an investigation on her, which was 2017. We still haven't seen the results. I was hacked. Now, those are your words, Joy Reid. They're all racist. At least Milano left. Bette Midler left. Mark Hamill. Oh, Mark Hamill's rich. Boy, you talk about a little guy getting lucky in Hollywood. One and done, you know. I remember Corvette Summer. That was about it. After that, the guy went nowhere. Well, I can't get a job. I want to do something. Nobody wants to see me, so I'll be a voice actor. Well, William, there's nothing wrong with being a voice actor. You're right. God bless those people that get paid good money too. But let's be honest. Mark Hamill had dreams of being a leading man. Yeah, being reduced to voice acting. No, that was a step down for him. So all these celebrities expressed their discontent with the political climate and chose to leave the platform, as well as call us mean names on their way out. That's their form of protest. You know, people always say history's going to look kind, not going to look kindly on those people. I don't know what history's going to do. 200 years, we may have nuked ourselves. But I know this. I don't need to say history's not going to look kindly on these individuals. I'm going to say today's day and age, they're dead wrong. They're dead wrong on Trump. These are the morons, the same morons. The Russia collusion hoax. It was Trump. You know, Trump got our spies killed. There's a bounty for our soldiers. Oh, Trump. No, that was Trump. If I remember correctly, it was Obama who killed innocent people droning, and Biden too. It was Biden who just pardoned his son. Not just for the recent arrest and conviction, for the everything he's done or that could come out in the last 11 years. Ironically, when stuff was coming out that Biden was tied to with his son. Biden didn't do that pardon. Somebody did it for him and said, you're going to pardon it like this, Mr. President. Huh? Okay. Is that little girl? That's Joe Biden. Oh, man. So these are the sentiments and actions of today's celebrity in response to the recent political developments. If you need a therapist, do not go to the ones the Menendez brothers went to. That's my advice to you. Let me send you my $2,000 an hour fee that you gladly pay for therapists. All right. Let us move on to Capitol Close Encounters, when DC gets high on UFOs. Or as I like to say, Capitol Close Encounters, UFOs return to Washington, D.C. So, my cosmic cruisers, buckle up as I'm going to take you down into a trip through time and space with Capitol Close Encounters. So whether it's the 1950s, or today, Washington, D.C. seems to be a magnet for mysterious lights and flights. So let's dive into some of these. Actually, it's not some. It's just one. It's 1952. Take your way back to 1952. It's a balmy July night. And the air traffic folks at Washington National Airport, they're going, what the? Their radar blips are dancing. Look at the speed on that mofo. Wow, holy mackerel. Man, they're doing circles. Holy mackerel, they're over the Capitol. Tom Cruise, we're calling you, 1952 version. Woo. They get the fighters up there. We see him. We're they're keeping their distance. It was all in the papers. As a side note, there's also in L.A., They were shooting anti-aircraft rockets at a UFO. So this happened back in 1952. And what I'm referring to is what happened just last week in Washington, D.C. And let me show you that. As you can see, the lights there. The guy, this gentleman, his name is Dennis Diggins. He's a U.S. Air Force veteran and a bona fide D.C. tour guide. But those are the lights there. Now, not to confuse you, because some of you guys are going to go, "William, William, that's been disproven. Those are street lights." No, that was a photograph. They said, "Look at the lights." No, those were disproven to be lights from lamps or reflection. These are not. I mean, look at that. So they were there. And this didn't make big news. And this was just on the heels of the House hearings last week. I was surprised he didn't make more news. So this happened in 1952, and they sent fighter pilots up, and they couldn't catch him. They couldn't see him. They were outrun, outgunned. They were made fools of. No different than what we've seen with the TikTok videos in terms of the capabilities. And again, the newspapers didn't cover this. And that's in a year later, our Project Blue Book began, the government's version of the X-Files, but with less Mulder and Scully. And more were out to prove this wrong. Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who was in charge of Project Blue Book, admitted as such. Yeah, our job there was to go and debunk this. But I became a believer because we couldn't debunk these. And they were truly mysterious. But in our case, in both cases here, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Move along. And back in the 50s, you could thank the Robertson panel. 6 years of data, 6 years of tons of we don't know what it is, and half a day, nothing to see here, move along. Then they had another one called the Condon Report in the late 60s, I want to say 1968. And that was a purposely set up project. Nothing to see here, move along, move along. And that's pretty much been the government stance. And last year, they came out with a report. Nothing to see here, move along, move along, move along. So the government stance is there's nothing to see there. There's more than enough pictures, photos, videos for us to go, things that make you go, So what am I saying by things that make you go, I'm saying exactly that. Tell us the truth. You don't know, but there's too much evidence and too many legitimate pilots, scientists, doctors, military veterans who are saying, no, I saw that. So as far as these lights in DC, some say they were interstellar tourists on a Washington, DC sightseeing tour. Wish you were here. Love the Grays. Back in 1950s, maybe some people were saying maybe these UFOs are just lost cosmonauts looking for the Red Square. Back then, Russia was dominating in the space war. But then you have your skeptics. Maybe they were just a bit too high. The radar text, that is, from the 1950s. But that said, Dennis Diggins, he got it on video. And we don't know what it is. Maybe it is something natural. Then again, that's what they said about the Phoenix show, the Phoenix lights. Tell that to the hundreds of thousands go, uh-uh. Tell that to the pilot who went up and just saw a mass of black that was obliterated his plane because it was so big. Somebody said, these lights aren't just twinkling. They're doing the Macarena in the sky. So, this happened in 1952, and it's happened again in 2024. How long is that? What's that, 74, 72 years? I'm adding it in my head. 72 years. So we've gone from the Cold War jitters to 2024's alien or lens flare debate. All I have to say, people, is just keep watching the skies and Make sure you know how to hold a camera or your iPhone or your Android steadily. And finally, remember this. In DC, maybe it's not just the politicians who might be out of this world. If you got your own UFO story, send it my way. Or let me know, I'll bring you on. Hit us up. It's Red, White, and Rude. And with that, my friends, I want to thank you for tuning in. Once again, do not forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Red, White, and Rude, whether it's YouTube or Rumble. You can also find these podcasts as well as my Conservative Talk podcast, Fired Up, and my Sports Meets Politics podcast, Points on the Board, at Grumblings Media, as well as our social media platforms, such as YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, Pandora. And with that, my friends, I am William Del Pilar. And until next time, for the Red, White, and Rude, I bid you adieu.